Hi, I'm Diane Chandler.
And I'm Perry Jones Grossman.
And this is Own Your Throne.
Through the show, you will meet inspiring women who have recreated and redefined what it really means to thrive and age gracefully.
Our guests are some of the most inspiring women on the planet. We were honored to sit down with each of them and get real about their journeys and what it took for them to truly
own their throne.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Own Your Throne podcast. I'm Perry Jones Grossman, along with my co-host, Diane Chandler. And today we have a very, very special guest. I want to call her our heart guest. Dr. Mary Holnick is really a pioneer and a leader in spiritual psychology. She's also the co-founder of University of Santa Monica, which happens to be the school that Diane and I attended when we got our master's in spiritual psychology, which is a two-year program. And it's, you guys, you're going to meet someone who's just so heartfelt and so full of wisdom. So get your notebooks out. You might want to do that with this one and take some notes as we go along. So Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
I'm so delighted to be with you both. And it's just wonderful to see you again.
Well, it's because of you. And Diane and I were talking about, was walking through the halls again. It brought back so many memories. Because when we first came in here, and I know Diane doesn't mind me saying this, we were pretty broken girls.
Yes.
And had so much inside of us. And the tools and the techniques that you and Ron taught us really changed our lives. And that's really the whole basis of this podcast, is teaching people all over the world some of the tools and techniques that you know, we learned here.
Yeah, and I would like to second that. I mean, you are hands down the most instrumental person in my life that I've ever had the honor of learning from. And so I'm so grateful for this opportunity.
Yes. I know.
Well, I love you both. I am thrilled that you are doing this. It is such a beautiful initiative and can reach so many. It's so important in changing the conversation for women.
Yes, and it's important. So, first question, you know, this podcast was really created for women 40 and above, because in the world, the messages are when women turn 40 or 45, 50, their lives are over. And it's whether they've gone through a divorce or their kids are grown or they've changed jobs, they really look at themselves and a lot of depression happens and they feel like their life is useless. So what advice would you give women who are in that place right now and listening and seeing this? How do they jumpstart? How do they get re-inspired and reinventing their lives?
Well, I would say your life has only just begun.
Yes.
You know, the first 40 years are a lot about learning, about completing, having certain experiences. And for many people, they complete some very difficult things in those first 40 years. Yeah. And the next chapter can be so extraordinary because we are creators. We have infinite possibility. And so much learning also can take place through those difficult and challenging experiences. Yeah. And intention is so powerful. I can only say your life has only just begun. Mm. You have God inside of you. You have so many gifts that are yet unopened from your birthday, as Hoppy said.
Yes.
And now's the time to begin opening them and sharing them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I would like to know a little bit about your childhood. I know that was, obviously our childhood has so much impact on how we live our lives. Tell me a little bit about yours and really the influences that led you to be a spiritual teacher.
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel I was very blessed because my parents were very loving and when I was growing up, I was very drawn to things of beauty. I was drawn to flowers, anything that I considered beautiful. Mm. And when I look back on my childhood, I realize how influential that was because it awakened the awareness of beauty, the importance of beauty, experiences of outer beauty, and how that can evoke more awareness of the soul, of the essence of who we are, but also of inner beauty, that there is tremendous capacity and beauty in each one of us. So I can remember being with my, I had had a little accident in the kitchen, and this when I was tiny, like 3 years old, and my mother, my head had been burned. And so she didn't want me to go outside because she didn't want the sun to exacerbate what had happened. But unbeknownst to her, I thought, I crept outside very quietly, went down the stairs, and I was enthralled with some buttercups. Here comes my mother, very gently bringing me back into the house. But that was just one example of my love affair with flowers and beauty. But another thing that I think was very instrumental in my childhood, it's interesting, even when I was very young, people would come and tell me their challenges, their problems, so to speak. And so I learned to be an empathic listener very, very early on. It's like I don't recall doing anything that fostered this, but somehow people perceived and experienced my being as a safe space for them. So that really has tremendously influenced my life, as both of you know.
Yes.
Because the two most foundational skills that we begin with in our work are seeing the loving essence and heart-centered listening.
I know. And I remember the one analogy she made, and I use this in some of my coaching. Remember, you have your ears are little hearts.
It was so cute to you.
And help you remember to do that.
My partner Paul and I came to the couples workshop where we did the heart-centered listening. And to this day, he's like, would you hold the purple heart and just listen? Just listen, Diane,
the
with your heart.
Dear.
Yes. Hold the purple heart. Yes, but I will say there's nobody, I remember my first experience of coming in the room and really being able to be in yours and Ron's presence, in the presence of God. And it was profound, because the listening that we've all learned and really the gift in that is just to be present with another human. And in that, there's such a healing moment that happens when somebody is just standing there loving you.
Yeah, so true.
And it's that simple. And that, to me, was the most profound gift I got the first year.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of gifts, so this is a question that's...
Well, there's one other thing, if I may share about my childhood that I think was extremely influential. I had polio when I was two. And the result of that was that I needed to learn to walk over again.
Wow.
And so that was extremely influential, because the life lesson in that was, you know, you may get knocked down, but the most important thing is to get up.
Yeah.
It's to get up again and to walk again. Mm. And I also feel that experience was extremely strengthening and resulted in a great deal of inner strength. Mm-hmm. And I feel that was a pivotal life lesson for me that really has been so important.
How old were you, Mary, when that happened?
Two.
And it lasted for how long?
I was down, really, probably for a couple of months.
Okay.
But my mother and grandmother and a Catholic sister actually cared for me. We were quarantined, and my father was away when I was diagnosed.
Oh, my goodness.
And at that time, they did what were called sister kinney treatments of hot packs on the affected leg. And they were so loving and so diligent that I had no atrophy. I had no shriveled muscle or whatever. So I was very blessed in that regard.
Boy, that's a big challenge to overcome. And what a great opportunity to learn, you know, young age. Well, we were talking about gifts earlier, and I've always wondered about this, because you have so many gifts. I mean, you've been blessed with so many beautiful gifts that you shared with us as students here. Mm-hmm. And my question is, do you feel like there's still some gifts that are growing inside of you? I mean, as we get older, do you think that there's still some gifts that we're learning? And do you think that there's some repercussions if we squander those gifts in spirit?
Yes, those are great questions. I feel I still have so much more to share. Mm-hmm. You know, and the way I look at it, it's everything I've done so far, in a way, is preparation for the next act.
Yeah.
And that there are a lot of things that what I've done has taught me. I've learned a great deal through the process mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. So there's like a gestation mm-hmm. that's still mm-hmm. occurring. I have more books to write. I'm working very diligently now on some online opportunities that I think will be very exciting and make this work accessible around the world.
Oh, that's so fabulous.
Yeah, so there's a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, really, the flow.
I love that.
So what do you feel is the most courageous thing that we, that's a big one. The most courageous thing that we as women can learn and to face as we age, as we get older, as we go into our next chapter?
Well, a few things come forward. One of them is the knowledge that there's like a deepening and ripening that can occur with age.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel there is a greater freedom.
Yeah.
Greater freedom, perhaps less concern with other people's opinions
yes.
and worshiping at that yes. altar, yes. letting go of that.
Yeah.
Being really true to the authenticity of who you are.
Mm.
So you use the word courage, and I would say courageous authenticity
mm-hmm.
would be one of the great opportunities in aging. And also, you know, it's never too late to be great. Mm. Grandma Moses started seriously painting at 78.
Oh my goodness.
And became one of the great American primitive artists.
Wow.
I find that inspiring.
Yes.
So I always think of Louise Hay as well. So
yes. She started at 60.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, into her 90s.
Yeah. It's amazing.
You know, to talk about like the people pleasing thing or caring so yes. much about what other people think. And I know from my own experience, that was one of my things. You know,
yeah.
that my challenges. And in the last couple of years, it's really integrated all the work that I've done, you know, through USM. And really something just happened. It's like I woke up one morning and I was just like, enough. Like,
yeah,
this is, you know, this is not a drill.
You're right.
Not up for vote.
Right.
Right. Right. Like, let's go. And it was something that just happened. And I do feel that's something that
yeah.
happens as we age and as we get more comfortable in our skin. And as we really connect more to God,
yeah.
for me anyway, that was my experience.
Yeah, I totally agree, which is probably why this show was created, because mm-hmm. that was
yes.
one of our biggest lessons is mm-hmm. teaching ourselves how to be authentic and also to be courageous and start something new. What do you think women in general, because you see a lot of people coming in these
yes.
doors over the, you know, the years that USM has been around, what do you think is the common thread of something that women struggle with the most?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, I think, is a sense of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's huge.
Yeah.
And the other, I would say, would be over-responsibility.
Oh, yes.
Over-responsibility. Yes. And not everything that we're aware of means that it's ours to do. And I think many women are natural nurturers. They have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can slip over the line into over-responsibility, mm-hmm. feeling responsible for things that aren't really ours. In particular, perhaps responsible for other people's feelings,
yeah.
other people's experience.
How would you, what would be a tool that you could say for women who are listening right now? Say, okay, I know I'm over-responsible. I have a phrase I say, it's not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm trying to walk away from it, right? But what would you say would be the best tool that you could give women today when they're relating to the client? Yes, I overgive. Yes, I do this. So how do I stop myself from doing that?
Part of it is learning to really be true to yourself, to slow down, to perhaps if you habitually say yes to things, to when you're invited to do something or requested to do something, to take time to say, let me be with that, I'll get back to you. Hmm. Because sometimes the habit is so strong.
Yes.
It's just kind of an automatic response. But the other thing is to recognize that it can be a matter actually of personal integrity.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And the root of the word integrity is integer, which means oneness. Mm. So to me, that's really being one with yourself, one with your soul, one with the truth, and staying true, because we all have the same amount of time. We may have varying amounts of energy, but as a person, I have my energy, and we all have choices.
Mm-hmm.
And to learn to make self-honoring choices inside and self-honoring choices outside.
Mm.
To really pay attention to that. I think one of the other things that's really important is to let go of guilt.
Yes.
To let go of guilt and shame.
Yes.
Because guilt and shame can lead to a feeling that I have to compensate somehow. And how do I compensate? Through overdoing. Yeah. To moving into over-responsibility and just putting too much on your own shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So doing the work to let go of the guilt.
So letting go. And just having the awareness of it is important. Yeah. Sometimes we're not even aware. We'll be exhausted at the end of the day and say, why am I so exhausted? Well, it's because I've been overdoing and, you know, taking care of everybody else, and I forgot to take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the other keys to me is learning to receive. It's very easy for women to be nurturers, to be very generous, to be very, very giving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so many times there is the opportunity to learn how to receive when somebody offers assistance, even in a small way, like to open a door for you, to carry things for you to your car, to say yes, whether you perceive that you need it or not, so that you begin to allow yourself to receive from others, from the universe. Because there can be a fierce independence that can actually set up a barrier.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to be very self-reliant. I'm going to try to do it all myself. And while maybe that was necessary at a certain time for some reason. So all of these things to me are part of the face of over-responsibility and how we can move out of it.
Yeah, the shame piece, there's two words there that really resonated with me, was the shame and receiving. Because when shame, in the work that I've done in the last couple of years, and being in rooms with people who have, you know, when you shine a light on those darkest parts, right?
Yes.
It's all of a sudden like, oh, the big monster isn't that bad.
No.
But how much shame people hold for their misbeliefs about themselves.
Yes.
And all the judgments and the shame.
Yes.
And when you lock it in there, it really holds you back from living your best life.
Yes.
From living and really shining as bright as we're all meant to shine. And there's just something in that shame that when you really go deeper and get to those places, it's just so liberating.
So
liberating.
And one of the things I do often, and I know both of you have heard me share this many times, so important to remember that your original innocence is intact inside of you, no matter what experiences you've had, no matter what judgments you've placed against yourself about what happened or whatever.
Yeah.
That original innocence is who you really are. That is intact inside of you. And we can let go of the shame. We can let go of the humiliation, the grief, the whatever variation mm-hmm. of emotional pain we have.
Mm. You know, something that hit me, I'm going off the topic of our questions just because this is really strong coming forward, is that I was really connected to a story I had.
Yes.
And I remember the first week, and he's talking about the loving essence. Everybody has a loving essence. And I can talk about this now because there's healing that happened. But I remember standing up and saying, I know someone who does not have loving essence. And he looked at me and said, who is that? And I said, my mother. Mm. And the way that you processed that with me, it took me a year to truly forgive her and to get rid of the story.
Yes.
And what you're talking about and the original innocence, I was only focusing on my original innocence as, you know, an event that happened when I was five. I never thought my mother had original innocence. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to cry right now. And that was the beginning stages of when I was able to let go of the narrative of who I was and the narrative of who she was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which was so important. And that's a hard thing because you hear when people come in, you know, and clients will come in and they'll tell me their story and I'll listen for like 30 minutes and I'll hear all this stuff. And then I'll look at them and I'll say, wow, why did you create all that? And they look at me like, what?
It's like that might have been 10.
I know, right? It's like, that was really amazing. You created all that. You're pretty powerful. And they look at me like, what are you talking about? You know, because I was been there. And yes. I know, you know, and what I learned here. So how would you begin, Mary, to help women that are hanging on to a story of who they are, who they think they are, and let it go?
Have been through divorce, where yes. their children have
yes.
left,
yes.
or
yes.
they're getting older and losing their looks, or whatever that
whatever
looks
their story
like,
is.
Whatever their story
yes.
is.
Well, yeah. it's so incredible. Because to me, the spiritual context really opens the whole matter of story
yeah.
up. To come into considering the possibility that I'm more than my body, I'm more than my mind, mm-hmm. I'm more than my emotions, I'm more than the experiences mm-hmm. that I've had, that I'm a divine loving being, and that my life serves spiritual purpose.
Yeah.
And the purpose is awakening, and the purpose is healing, and the purpose is sharing our gifts. Mm-hmm. So I invite people into the spiritual context to just consider the possibility that they are so much more than the life experience mm-hmm. that they've lived up until now, and that all of these experiences have been for them, mm-hmm. which is a radical reframe mm-hmm. yeah. because so many people are in the paradigm of this happened to me. Mm-hmm. And the subtext on that is I'm a victim
yeah. mm-hmm.
because of what happened to me. And these wrongs have been done to me. Mm-hmm. And it's not what happens to us. It's how we choose to respond to it, how we are going to utilize it. And these things all can be used in service to our healing mm-hmm. and ultimately to our liberation, to our freedom, mm-hmm. and to letting go of the story. We no longer need to hold it yeah. as a misidentification of who we are.
Yeah. We're so much more powerful than that. And as we're talking about the spiritual, I love that we can go this way with Mary.
I know.
You know, but we're made of God. I mean,
yes.
we're the image of God. And it's, you know, we forget who we are. We forget mm-hmm. where we came from. And that was a powerful piece for me to go back and remember too. Is, wait, I'm a child of God.
Yes,
you know, and
yes.
And you have the light. And as you said, we can't control the things that happen to us, but we control the way that we look at it, the perception. Mm-hmm. I went through an autoimmune disease about a year and a half ago. And it really struck me down for, I mean, months, and it scared mm-hmm. me. And I was fighting it, and I was angry, and I was blaming. And then I was like, okay, what am I doing? This is old stuff. And I had a vision. Remember Wizard of Oz, and when the good witch came in and she was that sparkling
yes.
ball?
Yes.
Linda.
And I called her, I told her, I said, all of a sudden I had this vision that this golden ball was coming in, and in it was the EBV virus. Mm. And it came in front of me and it was circling. It says, don't you see, I'm your gift.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow.
Okay, this is a really big reframe, and I'm not sure I'm ready to do this right now.
That means I have to let it go.
That means I gotta. Yeah. And I looked at it and I said, okay, I surrender. What is the gift? And the gift was, it was a total redirection for me. It was an opportunity to ask for help, which a lot of women have issues with.
Yes.
Receptivity in relationships and healing and saying, hey, I need help and I'm willing to accept it. And to be still and quiet and listen to what my direction was going to be, because it was, it made a radical turn. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Radical turn.
That's a great example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful example.
I was telling Perry that when I was first at USM, and you know, she was went to Oral Roberts, and you guys had the similar backgrounds. And I was more of a mystical girl, you know. When I was little, I would have, like, in my house, be able to live before this life. You know, we had books that were very ahead of that time. My parents were very open that way. And it was so interesting because I remember sitting in the room and the word love was used to describe spirit, our essence. And I'm like, yes, that is the word. You know, that for me was like, I can wrap my head around that word.
Yes.
I can wrap my head around that. And I look at everyone that way. I see it. It's seeing the loving essence. And I believe in every part of my being that love is what heals.
Love
is simple.
Yes.
It's it.
It is.
And so for me, that is what God is and spirit is love. And that's what we all are. And so that was the gift for me.
Yeah.
You know,
that's so
true. Our essential nature is loving. And as you were saying, Piri, not only are we each a child of God, but we are God.
Yes. Yeah.
We have God inside of us.
Yes.
And one of the biggest challenges we all have is spiritual amnesia.
Right?
That's so perfect. Yes.
We have forgotten.
Yes.
We have forgotten who we are. And the awakening really is a process of remembering. It's remembering. It's already in here.
Yeah.
All we need to do is let go of the misunderstandings, the misbeliefs, the judgments, and through forgiveness, and be restored really to the wholeness and holiness of who we are.
Would you give a little example about how we let go of judgments? I mean, we know the phrase to use, but I think this would be a wonderful opportunity for people who are watching.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that tool? How do I forgive myself?
Yes.
Would you mind sharing that?
No, I would love to share that, because to me, that is the most powerful tool of spiritual psychology.
Yeah.
And it's available to anyone, regardless of whether or not they've been through a long program designed to assist them in integrating all of this. So judgments are those statements of condemnation that we make either internally to ourselves, internally about someone else, or externally. Sometimes we express our judgments outwardly. And often they're in the form of shoulds, that something or someone or yourself, I should be different from the way that I am. And the challenge with judgment is that then we're inside the duality of good, bad, right, wrong, which is physical world reality. It is very dualistic. But the soul is, Rumi, I think, said it best, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field.
I'll meet you there.
And self-forgiveness is the opportunity to move to the field. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to forgive myself. I should be forgiving them for this wrong, bad thing that they did. And there's nothing wrong with forgiving the other person. But ultimately, the way to freedom is to forgive yourself for having placed the judgment. And let's talk about judgments against ourselves. Because I think that's perhaps easier to get the idea of how it can work. Like if I judge myself as not good enough in some way, or I judge myself as unworthy, it's that judgment that perpetuates the feeling of separation inside. It perpetuates emotional pain and suffering and the negative thinking. It just exacerbates all of it. And so forgiveness, we find forgiveness really through moving into our hearts. And one of the simple ways that those of you who are viewing this, we could do this together right now. It's like, think about a situation where you have judged yourself. Maybe you judged yourself as not pretty enough, not smart enough. You compared yourself with other women and you found yourself lacking in some way. Maybe something happened where you felt disappointed or as though you didn't belong. So once you have the situation in mind, then I invite you to focus your awareness in your heart, to breathe in through your heart. Breathe in loving. And as you breathe out, let go of any judgment. Let go of any emotional disturbance, any hurt feelings, any anger or frustration, irritation, resentment, disappointment, whatever it is. And once again, breathe in the loving and breathe out whatever the painful feeling or emotion is, just letting it go. And this time, when you breathe in the loving, focus on compassion and in particular, self-compassion. Compassion for yourself. There's no need to take what happened personally, to take it as somehow you're less than in any way. You are beautiful. You are lovable. You're a divine being having human experiences. These human experiences are ultimately for you. They're for your awakening. They're for your growth. They're for your freedom and healing, your liberation. So allow that compassion to flow through all levels of your consciousness and also into every cell in your body, just cleansing, clarifying, purifying, releasing any judgment, any misunderstanding or misinterpretation, misidentification, that in any way you're less than or unworthy, unlovable, to let that go. I forgive myself for forgetting who I am. I forgive myself for judging myself as unworthy. Just receive that compassion, that forgiveness. Let them go into the light of living love, into the light of spirit, and return to the nothingness from which they came. And in this moment, you come back to the loving, you come back to knowing your own divinity, your own beauty, the majesty and giftedness of the soul that you are. So be it.
You always get me.
I do.
You know, it's that inner child. I think that I know whenever I need to get to that beautiful compassion for myself when I'm judging myself, I think of that little 5-year-old little girl, you know, and me as a woman, I take her hand and I bring her into my lap and I just love on her and just, you know, and that seems to, work for all of us, right, sweetie? Yes. I know. She's my girl.
Yes. You're little so girls having accurate. You know, and that's where having a picture of yourself at an early age, whether it's you as an infant, or as a little girl, or if they're men listening, as a little boy, you know, it can just help soften the heart.
Yeah.
And the softening is really what allows for the opening and the compassion.
Yeah, that's so true. I have to kind of sneak on this, but Maya Angelou, who was actually one of my mentors, I had an opportunity to work with her for about a year. And she was amazing, you know, like you. And I love this quote. She says, "There's no greater agony than bearing an untold story." Hmm. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, you know, you shared so many stories in the classroom for 2 years, your own personal stories you and Ron have. And I wonder at this stage of your life, I mean, you've done so much work in clearing. Do you feel like there's any other untold stories, or are there other untold stories that come along and that you still share? And is there anything left inside of you that's a story that hasn't come forward yet? Is that making sense?
Well, that's such an interesting question. There are awarenesses that come up, things that maybe I hadn't connected the dots on previously. Yeah. But when I have the awareness, generally that brings the okay, I understand that. But I feel like there's more I have to share.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there's something that's been suppressed or repressed or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
There will be awarenesses that come up, because as long as we're in a human body, there's opportunity.
Right.
And I do recognize that, and I'm very open to that. But at this point, I'm very, very much here in service to my soul's mission, my purpose. Mm-hmm. And we were talking earlier about personal responsibility. Mm. And one of the new skills I'm in the process of developing is a skill that has to do with responsibility to share our gifts. Mm-hmm. And so from my point of view, it's like when I go, I want to be completely used up, that I really shared and brought forward everything that was given to me to share.
Like that Hunter Thompson quote,
yes.
I want to slide in.
Yes.
Completely exhausted.
Yes.
It's like, you know, you gave every fiber of your being.
I gave it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
was there ever a time in your life, Mary, where you were, let's say you were 45, 50, did you ever have that moment of your, like, I'm halfway through, you know, the second chapter or a midlife or whatever however people experience that time of their lives. Did you ever, what was your experience at that time of your life?
Well, I thought the 40s were fabulous. I just loved the 40s.
Yeah.
I just felt freer. I had learned a lot that was then more available to utilize the learning in the work. The 40s were a lot of fun and very fulfilling. 50 was interesting because it's like, in all likelihood, I've lived more than half my life. So now what? What really matters? What's really important? And of course, I feel that even more now. Mm-hmm. I never had what I'd call a midlife crisis. I didn't have that. If I had a midlife crisis, I would say it was in my early adolescence. Mm. I know that will sound very strange,
but
I just felt like many of the things that I found my peers were interested in, I wasn't interested in.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really feel a sense of belonging in that way. Mm-hmm. And but I recognize in retrospect the divine perfection, because it really was all about turning more inward and becoming more aware of my own inner life.
Right.
And so it was really perfect. But at the time, obviously, there was emotional suffering that was part of that. Mm. And just the question of, where do I belong? I didn't know enough to ask, where's my tribe?
You know? Right, yeah. Right. At adolescence. I don't think I asked that question until I was in my 50s. And even then I was asking, where am I?
Yeah.
You know, who am I? Well, you talk about, you know, knowing and going within and listening. We've learned a lot about the inner voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of questions that I get is, how do I know the difference between my inner voice and the ego voice? So what would be your best way of describing the difference?
That's such a great question. The ego voice, to me, it has many faces. It can be very seductive. Mm-hmm. But three of the most common ones are comfort. The ego will give messages that say, well, you don't really need to stretch. You don't really need to grow. You know, comfort is really important. Another message that the ego will give is messages that are designed to feed our idea of security.
Mm-hmm.
What will keep me safe,
yeah,
as opposed to stretching and risking and daring,
mm-hmm,
and daring to do more of what we really feel called to do at our deepest levels of our being. Mm-hmm. And the third one is control. Very often we want to have a sense of control.
Yeah.
Because we want things to stay the same. Familiarity is what gives us comfort and control. So, and the other thing, the ego voice very often will have subtle judgment, mm-hmm, in it. It will have the duality in it. It will make things right and wrong. But it has other faces too. It does.
Yeah.
The voice of the authentic self or of the soul, it's a voice of wisdom.
Mm.
And it's a voice that might bring the question to us, well, what is really self-honoring here? Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm small s, ego self-honoring. Mm-hmm. But what is really honoring of the soul? What is honoring of the highest good of all concerned?
Yeah. Boy, I love that phrase.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the ways I think we can recognize the difference.
How do we tap into our inner voice? What is your ritual in the morning? Because I know we talked about that a lot in class. It was important to have a ritual to set an intention. What does yours look like?
Well, in the morning when I wake up, I call in the light almost immediately. I do a centering, you know, my own prayer to spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I generally meditate in the morning, and I like to meditate for a minimum of 20 minutes, but my preference is to meditate for a good hour.
Mm-hmm.
When I first began meditating, our practice was 2 hours a day.
Wow.
And that was incredibly valuable because we were really stretching and growing and doing a lot outwardly. And we needed really to be in alignment spiritually and to be replenished, to be strengthening and deepening that connection. That's part of it. Exercise is important because physical well-being is important. Healthy nutrition, and I'm speaking some about the health aspects of this as well as the spiritual practice aspects of it, because our body is a temple, and the choices that we make have consequences.
Yeah.
Oh, and I realize you asked me the question about squandering our gifts.
Yes.
And that just came to mind. May I go back
please,
to that?
Please, please.
I don't believe we squander our gifts.
Mm-hmm.
My own observation of my own life and working with many other people is that very often people come in with an awareness of what their entelechy is. Mm-hmm. If the entelechy of an acorn is to become an oak tree, what is the entelechy of each person? Mm. And for me, there are two levels to that. The first is the spiritual. Mm. And to me, we all share the same entelechy. That is to get over our spiritual amnesia, to wake up, to remember that our essential nature is loving and that we are a gifted being, that we came here to learn, grow, heal, and share.
Yeah.
But the second entelechy is really much more personal. Mm-hmm. It has to do with what are your gifts? Mm-hmm. What are your gifts and what are you going to contribute? How can you share them?
Yeah.
And so sometimes I feel like people had certain experiences that they needed to have. And so it may seem like their gifts have been on the back burner.
Yeah.
But really, I would say they've been being held in a sacred space inside. Mm. Maybe they've even been gestating.
Mm.
And maybe the life experiences have actually been in service to setting them up so that when they are actually ready, then those gifts can come forward. I think we can sit on our gifts. We can sit on our assets, so to speak. And you get the pun in that.
Yes, we did. Yes. Due to fear or unworthiness, you know, it can be right there and you're like, ugh, and really jumping, you know, trusting, jumping into the divine and knowing, you know, taking those chances, right?
Yes.
So what would you say to women listening who are like, yeah, that's all good and great, but I don't even know what my purpose is or what my gifts are? I'm at this place now, my kids have left the house and I haven't had a career. Mm-hmm. And how do I find my purpose or my calling?
Mm-hmm. Well, one place to look always is at what you love. Mm-hmm. What you love, the experiences, the reference points you have in your life where you experience fulfillment and joy. That is great. But a simple approach that one can take is to do a dialogue with your soul. In other words, I like to encourage people, light a candle, say a prayer before you begin, ask for spirit's guidance and presence to be with you as you do this dialogue. And so begin by maybe writing your intention. My intention is to become more aware of my soul's gifts and my soul's purpose. What am I here to share? Mm. What are the blessings that I can bring forward on this planet? And to not think of them so much as something outer, but more inner. What are the qualities?
Mm-hmm.
And so not to be thinking like, well, I need to receive guidance about some grand mission that I'm here to accomplish.
Right.
But really to go into that place of prayerful humility, to really receive what the soul has to share, and to slow down, to listen deeply. Maybe you call in the light and you meditate for 5 minutes before you begin. And to release expectation, but simply be in that receptive place and know that this can be more than one conversation, and to go back and forth and to not be afraid to perception check with spirit, to check your understanding of what's being shared, to ask more questions, like what might that look like? Because spirit will provide guidance. But sometimes we may not be ready.
That's what I was going to say. So if you know what you're writing, all of a sudden you start judging what you're writing. Like, what do you mean?
Well, that was going to be one of my questions. Because we wondered about this. We were joking about this in the car as we were driving over here. I said, I wonder if Mary has ever experienced an argument with spirit. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I would like to do it this way. And spirit's like going this way. And you're like, yeah, but I really would like. Has that ever occurred to you? Has that happened?
My plan for my life was really to be as invisible as possible.
Of course.
Wow. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. You know, as a child, I was very quiet. I actually preferred not to talk with people too much, even though they talked a lot to me. And I certainly didn't want to be up in front of people speaking, presenting, working, or anything. And so when my path became clear fairly early on, very early on, actually, and I had completed my doctorate by the time I was 26, here I was up in front of a classroom teaching, working with people, all of that, which was perfect because it gave me a perfect way to be with people that was meaningful. Yeah. And I could feel that I was contributing, I was doing something that was valuable.
Yeah. Feeding your soul.
Yes. But the idea then of the classes that I taught when I was at the university where I was working, they were small. Maybe there were 30 students in the class. Yeah. And to begin to be working with groups of a few hundred people, that was a stretch.
That's a stretch.
That was a stretch.
Yes. No. Well, you brought the word up invisible, and it reminded me of, I know a lot of women, when as they age, they start feeling they're invisible because their looks are gone or they're aging or, you know, the misbelief is I'm not that important anymore. And so you start feeling like more and more invisible. Have you ever experienced that in your life?
No.
Okay. I would say no.
Speaking to that, though, to some women, because it's really prevalent out there. The aging process is scary.
Or even buying into the media selling us that it's a youth-obsessed culture that we live in, right?
It is.
So it's almost like, I think when you actually get around a table and we're hanging out with a bunch of girlfriends, we don't really feel that way, but sometimes people buy in to that misbelief that we're no longer worthy or that they're I believe women are wisdom keepers. And I think, and I believe that deeply. And so I'm loving getting older but that has been a process, but I love it now. And I will say that because I'm becoming wise, you know, and there's something really beautiful about and passing that on to our younger generations.
And to our daughters.
And to our daughters. And so what I really want, one of my intentions for this podcast is for women to really value, you know, their experiences, what they've learned, and really be able to share that with our youth so that they're not learning how to, you know, grow up in a culture that media is so important and all these, you know, these fake images are out there. And so, so I would say, you know, to jump on your question.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know. I just came out of the closet yesterday about something.
Mary's going to get
Mary's like, oh gosh, what happened?
I was proud of you.
I know. I had an issue. It was because I was dating.
And you were Miss Texas.
I know. I never wanted to tell people my age. I was embarrassed. I felt like I'd be judged. You know, so I wouldn't say anything or I would make up something. And I had a dating profile that said I was 6 years younger than I really am. I have to admit. And so just recently, Mary, you'd be so proud of me. I met this man who's 2 years younger than I am. And I just kept, because my girlfriends were hounding me, like, Perry, you got to start. You got to, this is ridiculous. So we were walking on the beach and I said, you know, I said, you're 60, right? And he said, yeah. I said, well, you know, you are dating an older woman. He went, what? And I said, I'm 62.
Brave.
I'm 62. No, I think it was more like this. I'm 62. And he looked at me and he said, really? Yeah. And I go, yes. And he goes, well, that's what I've been doing wrong in my dating. I've been dating much younger women. I needed, and he goes, I'm in love with a woman who's older than me. And so I finally said yesterday with Rita Wilson, and we were all laughing, talking about our ages all over him. And I thought that was really such freedom for me to stop judging myself about my age. Because working in this business, everyone told fibs about their age. And my brother was teasing me. He's younger than me. He says, every time I read a piece of PR on you,
you
were the youngest one and I was getting older. And I said, shh, don't say anything.
So
but it was something I had to let go.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny?
I know. That is really beautiful.
It was great.
Is beautiful.
My girlfriend's like threw a party for me practically.
I'm so proud of you.
I know.
Because that was a big thing for you, you know?
Yes.
And the culture that you grew up in.
Oh, I know.
And being on TV and the youth obsessed culture, right? And all of that.
Yeah.
I get it, you know? And so
I know.
I used to tell her, I'd say, I watched an Oprah show. And she said that it's really important to like own your age because
yes.
of not
own your throne.
not doing that is actually, you
yeah.
know,
dishonoring you.
Yourself.
It is.
And all, yes. And it's
well,
such a
I am 75.
The most beautiful 75.
Most amazing, beautiful.
Yes.
You know, and to me, age is a state of mind.
Yes. Absolutely.
And if we take care of ourselves, and actually, earlier this week, I was aware I was feeling so much energy and creativity and all of it. I was actually feeling about 16.
I love that.
Just in terms of vitality and aliveness, yeah. enthusiasm.
Well, I haven't seen you in a couple years, and you look radiant.
You're looking
like
younger.
Younger. We saw your face. We're
yes.
like, oh, my goodness.
I know.
It was so funny. When I was telling Perry on the way here, talking about age, my father used to say, he was a professional athlete.
Yeah.
My father is, I always say he's like a
sage. He's
kind
yeah.
of like, yeah, ahead of his time. And he would say to me, but Dot, like, I'm so young. Like, if you didn't know how old you were, how old would you be? And
yes.
I'm not
that great?
Labeling myself
yeah.
by an age. And
yes.
he never has. And
yeah.
it's a
Good
really,
for
that
him.
Was such a beautiful
yeah.
gift. And so it's not that we have to identify with that
right.
number.
No.
It's
no.
just
right.
honor the number.
Yeah.
Yes.
And honor the years on the planet. Honor
right.
this lifetime. And I think
yeah.
that was more of the message.
That's true.
Yeah.
I love what he said.
Yeah. So Mary, you've accomplished so much in your life. And I would like to know, what are you the most proud of?
Well, what I'm the most proud of, perhaps I experienced the greatest joy and fulfillment, is having been part of founding and nurturing this school for almost 40 years now. Mm-hmm. And to think that we came to California from New Mexico, that we really had no idea how to how to begin a school and what was going to be required legally and all of that, that we had the strength of heart to do it and to stay with it. And it's been the most incredible thing because, as you both know, at that time we were in a master's format. Mm-hmm. People came for 2 years. It was depthful, healing and transformational work. Awakening spiritually. And I would say the other thing that I'm very proud of is that when we decided that it was no longer viable to be in the master's degree format, that we had the courage to let go of the form.
Yes.
And to just return to essence and to begin to develop certificate programs that people could come and take that didn't have written homework anymore, that to be creative in new ways. And it's, I am so grateful for that. When it happened, it seemed like somebody came along and just took our game board and tipped it over.
I remember that.
You know,
yeah.
it was just so, it seemed so disruptive. And it was, there was a sense of grief and loss. Mm. In retrospect, 3 years later, I'd say it's the best thing that ever happened.
Wow.
And that I am really grateful for the strength of heart, the willingness to begin mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. and just return to essence. What is this mm-hmm. really about? How can we go mm-hmm. about it in a different way? And it's actually been so freeing,
mm-hmm.
so freeing. So I would say that's really what I consider my major accomplishments so far.
So far.
So far.
So far. Which leads me to my question is, what are you looking forward to co-creating with Spirit in this next chapter?
Well, there is so much creative inspiration. We're going away to Carmel for a week.
Oh.
And I'm really looking forward just to time to download some of this. But we are, I have another book that's just right here that I'm eager to get going on. I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to dissipate the energy. I want to hold yeah. it. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is new shorter formats. Mm. New shorter formats for people. Some of them will be shorter in-person formats, but some of them are going to probably be fairly bite-sized, making things available to people around the world online.
That's great.
I had, I don't think I spoke about this with you. A few weeks ago, before Christmas, it was morning, fairly early in the morning, and I was alone. And all of a sudden, the awareness came to me. Imagine that I lived someplace on the planet where this kind of work was not accessible, yet I was ready for the work, but it wasn't really available to me. What would that be like? And I tuned into that. It was very deep and very moving to me. And it said to me, so important to find ways that this can go out in a broader way, reach more people. I don't have an aspiration about how many people it should meet or anything like that. It's just prepare it. Find a way to make it available.
That's so great, because I don't think there's another place on the planet that people have the healings that I've witnessed in this room and in this university.
It's true.
Well, and we really have been blessed with a spiritual energy field that when we show up and the students show up, the energy shows up. And as you said earlier, loving is healing. And together we co-create with spirit. And the students, as you well know, a very loving, supportive, deeply healing environment.
Oh, so beautiful. All right, our last question for you, Mary. I know I appreciate your extra time with us, but it's so important to get your wisdom out there. So as you know, the title of the podcast is called Own Your Throne. So what does owning your throne mean to you?
Owning my throne, it seems odd to say it that way, but to me, it is about releasing the spiritual amnesia and taking responsibility and being willing to do the sometimes difficult but deeply rewarding work of releasing the barriers that have blocked me from the awareness of myself as divine, and to really have the courage to go into the high ground. The high ground, and for me, the high ground is really God consciousness. In God consciousness, all things are known. And there is just, there are these levels of awareness and knowing that are available to us. And so to me, owning my throne is being willing to continue to grow in higher consciousness, to become more surrendered, because it's really, it's like part of the illusion is that we do the work, but really the work is done through us. Spirit works through us. And so it's being willing to surrender in deeper and fuller ways such that I can become an even better servant of the light, a conduit for the divine. So that's how I look at
so beautiful.
That landed.
Of course. That's so beautiful. Well, is there anything that we haven't brought up that you would like to say before we end this temporarily?
Well, the other thing that I know that passed through earlier and then we moved on is the importance of reframing issues as blessings, that our unresolved issues aren't in the way, that they actually can become stepping stones. And if we open our eyes inside the spiritual context, then we begin to see these situations, circumstances, and very difficult, painful things that we've gone through really as blessings, as opportunities, as for us. And then we can lift up more authentically into the presence of love and can be prepared to turn and share our gifts. just as the two of you are so magnificently doing.
Oh, and we're
I'm
having
so,
so
proud
much
of you both.
Oh,
and
thanks,
so,
Mary.
So delighted to be with you.
Oh, thank you. You were such, you're such a treasure to us. We talk about you all the time in Ron, in this place, and I mean, even our crew would know how often we talk about USM and the things that we've learned. You really, you guys changed our lives. You've saved our lives. And and it's, I know you were conduit to spirit, but it was, I mean, and later in life. And that's what I want other women to know is,
yes.
Dad and I didn't do it till we were in our 50s.
Yeah, yes.
So it's never too late.
No, it's never too late.
Never too late. The freedom that I feel, the beautiful relationship I have with my children.
Yes.
You know, being able to let go of my divorce, being able to let go. It's just, it's just freedom.
Yes.
So for that, I thank you.
Yes. Thank
well,
you.
And I just feel so blessed because, yes, we answered the call to do this work, but you answered the call to come and do the work. And so you were ready and you were willing and you had the perseverance, the strength of heart to stay with the work and to continue doing it after you completed the program. Yeah. Because it becomes a way of being.
Yeah.
It's not a degree that you finish and put on the wall. It's really...
It's in you.
It's in you. It's a way of being.
And it continues integrating.
Yes,
I mean,
it
the
does.
Awareness when things come in, you're like, wait a minute, that's old stuff. I know better than that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you,
Mary. Thank you. Bless you both.
Bless you too, sweetie. Thank you.
This podcast was created by Perry and I because we both met at school getting our master's in spiritual psychology, where we learned the tools and techniques to really heal, reclaim, and redefine the second chapters of our lives.
And you'll also learn some tools and techniques from our guest. All you have to do is go and subscribe and leave some comments. Let us know what you think about the shows, as well as maybe you have some ideas of other guests that we can have.
So enjoy the conversations, and we look forward to hearing from you.
And be sure and check out our website, which is ownyourthrone.co. And we have some freebies for you, so be sure and check us out.